So, in addition to this being a double festival weekend in Astoria, that is Pride, Astoria Pride and Tenor Guitar Gathering, it's also Art Walk this weekend. Not too much going on, right? Ugh, it's exhausting and it's thrilling at the same time. So I want to introduce my guests, and then I'm going to ask them, hi, got to peek through, to play some tunes. I'm just looking around the room. There are only two brand new faces here, but actually you heard the music from one of them on my folk show this past week. We were able to download that, not me, our operations engineer, and a brand new filmmaker as well. So from my left, your right, I have John Lawler. Hi, John.
Hey.
Good to have you here. Now, remember, when you talk, use that microphone. Just lean right into it.
Mike LeClown.
And, there you go. And John, you're our Philadelphia guy.
Yeah.
You got to say things out loud. You can't make secrets.
Yeah.
John, did you just come in from Philly?
Yeah, last night.
Last night?
I was so tired. I was really sleepy.
But you're here now. You're ready for the weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And this is how many years have you been coming?
I think it's five this time. I think this year's five.
Okay. And I'm going to skip over our newbie because she is our one and only woman as well, besides me, of course, in the room. And go right to our new music director. Is that the title? Tyler Jackson. Hi, Tyler.
How's it going?
Cool name.
You can lift up that mic. Tyler Jackson is here. And Tyler, this is only your, third year?
Third time.
So how did you get to be the music director? That's pretty cool.
Well, nobody else would do it. And I'm
just kidding. Were you out of the room when they volunteered?
Somebody just needed the title. I think we're all kind of in this together. But
I think that's true. It is an ensemble.
It is.
And next we have Grant Flick. You can actually move closer. You can move your chairs, too. Hi, Grant.
Hello.
And by the way, Tyler, where do you live?
I live in San Antonio, Texas.
And Grant, where'd you come from?
I'm from Bowling Green, Ohio, but I go to school at University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Oh, okay. How long have you been going?
I just finished my first year.
Congratulations. Yeah. Grant is the youngest one of the group. Which has nothing to do with his playing, but it does mean that sometimes we get locked out of places because he...
This is true.
He's too young to get into the bars. Well, there you go. And then standing with his fabulous double bass is Paul Gabrielson. We've only got three mics in here, folks, so we're going to be moving them back and forth and around. Hey, Paul. Thanks for coming back.
Oh,
great to
thank
see you.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you're in Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay. And how did you get involved? Because you don't have... How many strings do you have on your instrument?
I have four strings.
Does that qualify you for...
Well...
Josh is shaking his head yes.
I'm here to provide support for all my four-string friends.
That's great.
Guitar.
Well, actually... Was last year your first year, or did you come the year before?
No, it was the year before.
So
last
year,
I wasn't here, but
okay. Okay. Because Paul plays the large stand-up bass, which fortunately Paul is a tall guy, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they had you playing practically with everybody.
The last time was pretty much everybody. There were a few acts that I didn't play with, which was nice break for the audience.
Nice break. For the audience. No, we loved it. But let me ask you something. Did you have a chance to practice with most of the people?
No.
Okay.
No.
I see.
Cohort Josh Reynolds is the reason I'm here, and he's part of the Kingston Trio now, and
right.
I've been working with them for a few years now.
How many years?
27.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, you've been working with them longer than Josh has, but Josh has got the name. Josh, who's standing here without a microphone, I should add. Although, there he goes. He can grab one. Hey, Josh.
Hi, Carol.
Thank you so much. Josh is the one who stepped in when our beloved Mark Josephs, who started this whole thing, who conceived of the Tenor Guitar Gathering. By the way, there are a lot of people out there who have no idea what a tenor guitar is. Josh's dad played one. He was Nick Reynolds from the Kingston Trio. And I don't think most people realized it. I certainly didn't, and I grew up with the Kingston Trio. I had to look at the cover of the album, and then I could see there were only four strings on the guitar. But I bet, what do you think? Did most people know about that?
Not really. It took quite a while for people to understand really what my dad did with the tenor guitar, which is very different than the musicians that are here. What he did basically was he capoed up very high on the neck so that it would be a different tonality compared to the D28 that Bob Shane would play, and the banjo that Dave Gard or John Stewart or the guitars that they might play. It was something that gave it an extra voicing, which was a completely different concept at the time, which is what I do, which is I copy him.
Sounds good to me. And so now you are an official member of the Kingston Trio. Congratulations. Well,
thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Yeah. I'm very happy to take over my father's legacy with Mike Marvin and Tim Gorlington. And the interesting thing about it is that I would not be in this position that I am right now if it had not been for Mark Josephs and you and the Tenor Guitar
Mark.
Gathering.
Wow.
It would be not. But I have one announcement that I'd like to make,
please.
Carol. This may come as a surprise to you, but on Saturday night, we're going to be inducting Carol into the Tenor Guitar Hall of Fame.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, my God!
You're an honorary member.
Yeah.
Now you're really going to make me cry. Oh,
well, you've supported us for 9 years, going on 10, yeah. And we decided there really wasn't anybody that deserved it this year.
Oh, my gosh.
And we felt that with all of your support and all of the time and talk that you've done and support, that we're going to... We don't have the plaque made yet, but we'll make sure you get a copy.
Well, you know, I do have a tenor guitar. I got it from our friend across the river who makes them. He donated to KMUN, and I put my money in and got myself. Now I better spend the next day practicing how to play it, though. That's the only problem. Holy cow, I am honored.
Well, you don't have to play on stage. You just have to come up and accept the award. That's all you have to do.
I'll just hold it so I can kind of fit in. Well, before I get to Denny, I want to go back to our tenor guitar player, who is brand new, the only brand new one here, and that would be Joanna Walfish. Joanna, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's wonderful.
Everybody. Thank
yeah.
you.
Now, tell us how you became part of this crazy crew.
It's a very good question, especially because I actually play baritone ukulele. But I met Paul Gabrielson in February in Kansas City, did some singing. He seemed to think I might be a nice fit for this event, and he just called me up and said, hey, you want to come and play some shows and do some workshops
wow.
and,
Wonderful.
You know, be a four-string representative. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
And you are from and you live...
I'm from London, England, mm-hmm. where the Queen lives, and I live in L.A., where the Queen does not live.
Well, wait a minute. The Queen Mary lives there in
oh,
Long
the boat.
Beach.
Yes, yeah, it's true. My mum, who's from Australia, took that ferry.
There you go.
Once upon a time. Anyway.
That's where my brother lives. Okay. I was just there visiting. That's okay. how I know. So, but Joanna, what kind of music do you usually play? You have a lot of original music, don't you?
Yeah, my job description is singer-songwriter. But my background is in jazz and classical. I came up as a jazz singer, really. And so my music now that I write and perform all the time is... I sort of, if I try and put it in a box, I schmuss Joni Mitchell and Ella Fitzgerald together and shake it up. And
that sounds pretty good. Me. We're all sitting here shaking our heads going...
A winning combination.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully.
Absolutely. Sounds fantastic. What do you guys think? Is Joanna going to be able to play with the rest of you?
Oh, yeah.
The heads are going yes again. Because bottom line is we've got all these fantastic musicians. They know how to make it work. My last guest here is Denny Tedesco. And Denny, oh, how'd you get that mic? Very good. we have lots of help here. Denny Tedesco is the director of the documentary film The Wrecking Crew, which is being shown as part of the Tenor Guitar Gathering Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock at the Astor Street Opry Company. And I'm going to let you tell us about it because I was not familiar with your father, Tommy Tedesco. So just tell us a little bit right now and we'll come on back.
Okay, well, the Wrecking Crew is a nickname that was given to session players in Los Angeles in the 60s. And they were doing all the rock and roll dates. They were doing Sinatra. Sinatra wasn't rock and roll, obviously. But they were doing the Beach Boys, Jan and Dean, Mamas and Papas, Fifth Dimension, Sam Cooke. Anything that was being done in L.A. in the 60s most likely had a group of session musicians on
there.
Was
it the same? Wasn't the same
Not the
group?
Same. There's about 20 of them. So they would intermix. Okay. You had my father. You had Glenn Campbell on guitar. Oh. You had Barney Kessel, the great jazz player as well. Howard Roberts, who's actually from this area.
Oh.
And then... and then you had a woman bass player, Carol Kay.
Mm-hmm.
Lyle Ritz actually was from Portland. He passed away, last year, I think. But Hal Blaine and Earl Palmer were the drummers. It just went date to date to date.
So I want us to get and hear some music, and then I want to get back to this because I watched the trailer, and I was blown away, including some of the stories about how much these session musicians what a large part they had in actually writing the music.
Well, they were there.
Creating the music.
Yeah, in a weird way, yes. Yeah. Musicians, they give everything to the part, as you see here, as you'll hear.
Absolutely. Well, let us hear something. Is there anything we can all play together? While you guys are talk among yourselves, I just want to send out a couple of greetings to folks. I want to say a very happy 90th birthday to our fabulous friend Chuck McLaughlin. We're celebrating on Sunday. If you want to know more about the celebration, give me a call after the show. And I also want to say a sad farewell to Anthony Bourdain, who I never heard of until last October when I heard him interviewed on Fresh Air and fell in love with what he was doing. Very sad. I want to also tell you folks, all of us who live right here on the ocean today, believe it or not, is World Oceans Day. Who knew? Who knew? But it's true. And a big shout out of congratulations to all of the graduates and a special one from my heart to the graduates of Astoria High School, Alternative School, Gray School. What a fabulous bunch. And I'll save my last message for later. So, what do we got?
Skylark?
Sure.
Yeah.
Are you checking over
this
the music?
This is how it goes.
Here?
No, we're all... Yeah. Yeah. This is a song. Actually, who wrote Skylark?
Hoagie Carmichael.
Hoagie Carmichael.
Oh, okay.
So, a good, beautiful jazz standard.
A-flat?
Yeah, E-flat. Let's do it. Who wants to start? Tyler.
Oh, Skylark, have you anything to say to me? Won't you tell me where my love can be? Is there a meadow in the mist where someone's waiting to be kissed? Oh, Skylark, have you seen a valley green with spring where my heart can go a journeying over the shadows and the rain to a blossom-covered lane? And in your lonely flight, haven't you heard the music in the night? Beautiful faint as a will-o'-the-wisp, crazy as a loon, sad as a gypsy serenading the moon. Oh, skylark, I don't know if you can find these things, but my heart is riding on your wings. So if you see him anywhere, won't you lead me
was gorgeous. Oh my God. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to, I'm not even sure what we're listening to. This is magic. This is absolute magic, folks. It's Coast Community Radio Arts Live and Local. It's Tenor Guitar Gathering Weekend, the 9th annual. And you just heard the voice of Joanna Walfish, who is brand new to our tenor guitar gathering, obviously not to music. Did you grow up in a music family? Is that what I'm remembering?
Yeah, I did, a sort of music circus. yeah, my mom is a violinist, my dad's a cellist, my brothers are both musicians, my grandmother's a cellist, my other grandmother was a cellist, my grandpa was a pianist, my aunts were cellists.
Goodness.
My other grandmother was an oboe player, my great-grandfather was a conductor.
Holy
my other great grandfather. It goes on.
Yeah.
So, did any of them sing? Because
no.
Cellists don't usually sing.
Well, actually, one of my older brothers, Simon, he is a opera singer and a cellist, equal parts.
Not at the same time, however.
He's actually, yes, if you YouTube the singing cellist,
oh
you will
God.
Find him doing some very funny, amazing things. Yeah.
And is the name, are many of them named Walfish?
Yeah, Walfish.
That's W-A-L-L.
F-I-S-C-H.
C-H, right. Mm-hmm. That's what tipped me off. So, wow. So you didn't have much of a choice. You had to become a musician. How did you get into singing part of it, though? And
yeah, I mean, it's funny. My family were very, they weren't, nobody said I should be a musician. If anything, they were like, whatever you do, don't be a musician. So actually, I spent a long time trying to avoid it, but I finally couldn't. But yeah, singing, I mean, I've been singing forever. I think everyone sings from the moment they come out, they sing. It might be called screaming, but no,
yeah.
You're really singing. And I remember and am often reminded by my family about when I was, you know, when I, as soon as I could talk, I would be singing about my day. Everything was in song to me. And so, and translating it, you know, I still do that. I sing about my life and, mm-hmm. and now I get paid for it.
That's so. That's nice, isn't it? And I think we have, a room full of people who have made music their lives. Isn't that true? But remember, you're on radio, so shaking your head doesn't work.
Yes, you it's true.
Yes.
But it's not easy.
That's, yes. You all know that. Did most of you get discouraged from making music your life? Was that something that parents said, yeah, you could really, this is what you should do?
Yeah, I always had a lot of support, really, from my family and friends. And I think the most important thing was doing what I loved to do and mm-hmm. what I had good. Talent or gifts to do, you know.
That's
so I never
Tyler.
Felt, yeah, money was never really the issue. It was mm-hmm. always...
That's a good thing.
You know,
yeah.
It's what I love to do. Wake up thinking about it, go to sleep thinking about it, and do mm-hmm. it all day in between that.
Wonderful. Well, I know that was Tyler Jackson, and I know that Grant Flick has terrific family support.
Yes, I do.
And we all know that because Grant's parents have been here every year.
Yeah.
And your dad's a guitar player, too.
Yeah, my dad plays guitar and banjo and dobro and a bunch of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep.
A little differently from you, though. Did he start as a child, too? I mean, as a young person?
Yeah, a little bit. I think he kind of started on banjo. Like, he heard a lot of bluegrass when he was, like, a teenager and, mm-hmm. and really enjoyed that. And he also, like, listened to a lot of, like, you know, real country, like Buck Owens and that sort of thing. So I kind of heard a lot of that stuff growing up as well, and I just kind of grew up with it. I didn't really set out to be a musician. Mm-hmm. It's just find it fun to do and still do. So.
But I remember that you would sit down with... various of the older set, which is anybody in the room and beyond, although Tyler isn't really very much older, but he is, you know, everything's relative.
True.
And you would just
True.
Play whatever kind of music that was going on. Tim
yep.
May was Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
John Lawler over here is also, as Joanna was saying, more in the jazz style, mm-hmm. wouldn't you say? Yeah. Well, let's have some... let's have some more music, maybe some duets or solos
we'll
or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do a... both Grant and I are big fans of Django Reinhardt.
Me too.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Actually, we now have a show.
Really?
I don't know how many Friday
yeah.
nights a month we do
cool.
Django.
Yeah, we'll do a little Django Reinhardt tribute. Honeysuckle Rose real quick.
A little intro, maybe.
Sure. One second.
Thank you.
F.
Cool.
F.
Bolstrom. Yep. Sweet.
One, two.
Thank you. right. Folks, this is fabulous. And if you think this is fabulous, come on over and hear the concerts because it's going to be outrageous. And let's mention that. And by the way, you mostly heard just now, well, you heard four players just now. We heard Tyler Jackson and Grand Flick just going back and forth. And
that's
about
it, right?
And John Lawler was over here. He's a little bit separate, but he's playing away on his own mic. And then, of course, you could hear Paul Gabrielson on that fabulous stand-up bass. Can you tell that that's my favorite instrument? I love that. You know, the problem is that it's not a problem. I know it's okay. But electric bass is nothing compared to, just look at that thing. It's just
it's
magnificent.
It's a very beautiful instrument. Mostly when you play upright bass, you have to consider what kind of car you're going to buy.
It doesn't collapse, huh?
Not really, no. I mean, they do make them
collapsible ones.
Yeah, they make them with a neck. The neck comes off.
Right.
They have one called the Chadwick folding bass, and that
I don't think it's going to be that big, though, when it opens up.
Years ago, Leadium used to make drums that collapsed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Full
drum set to collapse down.
Wow. You
could just back in the 30s.
Walk along with
your... Yeah, the guitar players have the...
Yeah. To get rid of the drums.
Oh, the guitar point.
They're really scared.
So if somebody says, what kind of music is that anyway, what do you tell them?
Well, that was kind of like early swing or gypsy jazz right there. And before that, we played like a jazz standard, and there's all sorts of stuff that happens here at the Gathering. I like to play a lot of bluegrass music and like flat picking. Tim May, who's usually here, does a lot of that as well. John likes to play a lot of like really cool chord melody stuff, kind of like Wes Montgomery, but mm-hmm. even cooler than that, in my opinion. So, and
we're gonna hear one from John
for
sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, am I right though that? Now, you guys didn't know each other. None of you knew each other, right? Until Mark sort of brought you in one mm-hmm. at a time kind of thing.
Yeah. Yep.
And Joanna is meeting everybody for the first time, and I can see from the big smile on her face that she's impressed, right? It's wonderful. And but am I right that you two especially started inviting each other to your gigs out there in the real world?
Basically,
yeah, it's true.
I last saw Tyler only like a month ago in Michigan at this banjo convention in Dearborn, which was awesome. It was very fun.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was fun.
Right. Yeah. But I understood that you kind of invited, come on up, we're doing a gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. I love it. This is how music happens. So what are you thinking, Denny Tedesco?
It's just so impressive, but everybody assumes just because I'm a son of a guitar player, I can play. I can't play a note, so I'm really frustrated here. I'm hoping that maybe one day I'll learn.
Okay. Well, you still have a little bit of time.
Yeah, but as some radio interview recently said, well, you know, it's a God-given talent. It's like, well, now I can blame God. So that's my feeling.
As long as you don't think of your father as God, because that could be a whole other problem. I mean, after Joanna's incredible family legacy, it was hard to imagine.
It is.
But I did read some of that. That's why I didn't realize it was that extensive, but it's quite amazing. So you are listening to a prologue of the Tenor Guitar Gathering, which is happening for the 9th year here in Astoria. Now, Josh, I just want to check in with you because I've had a little bit of confusion myself on where things are happening. So did you guys already have some workshops today?
Yeah, basically our base camp is at Pier 39 all day. That's where we have our jams, all the merchandise, the workshops, the circle jams, and everybody is mingling, Joanna and Tyler and Grant and John and Jerry and Paul and everybody, Eric Sylvester, everybody who's performing is down there every day and hanging out and talking to people after their workshops. It's really a great community thing.
So that's at 39th Street and the river, and it's literally the river. You go out that narrow bridge out to the pier, and in the back. You just keep going.
You just keep going in the back. Now, okay. The performances every night are at the Astor Street Opry Company.
Friday and Saturday nights
from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., and we have a VIP package, so if people want to get in early and chat with the musicians, they can get a better seat, et cetera.
Nice.
And then tomorrow, as you mentioned, from 4 to 6, Denny's going to be screening the Wrecking Crew documentary, and then I'm going to be moderating kind of a panel, and Denny and I are going to be talking about our fathers and music and musical camps and influences, and we might even pull Joanne into that, too.
Yeah, that sounds
I found out that
she belongs.
To be quite a range of cellists in her family.
What time are the concerts?
The concerts start at 7 o'clock, and they go to about whenever.
Whenever, yeah. And they're both at the Astor Street Opry, which is
absolutely
on, what is it, 127 or something?
I think it's 127 West Bond Street.
Yeah. And if you have any problem, the website is tenorguitargathering.info. So check that out. You can read about all of these performers and also check on the schedule. Each person is giving classes, so you can see what works for you or just come on over and take them all, because that's it's an incredible wealth that we have here. And we still have, I believe, up there on the wall, is that Gordo's picture up there?
That is.
Yeah.
That is Gordo.
So Gordo, Gordo Styler, who was one of our early heroes and was a fabulous programmer here on KMUN, and who also died way too young, same as Mark. And the festival, the fact that it's going on, big tip of the hat to Josh, who picked it up and said, we don't want to let this go. And so he stepped in and made it happen. And I didn't know if it was going to happen this year. So I am so thrilled to see all of you here. Wonderful.
Thank you, Carol.
John, you got a thing for us?
Yeah, this is a short thing.
Okay.
Good.
Do you want to tell anybody what it is?
No, I'm hoping they'll recognize it.
Okay.
Me too. We are too.
So did you guys recognize it? Oh, good. Because I don't know.
The Bewitched theme. Bewitched.
Oh, okay.
Song Bewitched.
That was after my time, right? Okay. What else we got? Joanna, you have something? Do you have an original piece?
I have
you...
a couple.
Okay, yeah. Let's give that a try. And do you trust anyone to play along? Is there anything they can?
It's a good question, actually.
Because you're doing a whole nother ball game there, aren't you?
That is a good question. Maybe.
Don't need to.
Paul might be able to jump in, but maybe. Well, let's see. And how long of a song can I sing? I have like standard length. I don't want to sing anything too long.
What's standard length?
Like, you know, 3.5 minutes.
Perfect. Yeah.
So
no 20-minute songs today.
Yeah.
Another time, maybe.
So I'm going to sing a song. Actually, let's rewind. Let's sing a song from my new album.
Oh, yeah.
Because there I can kill some birds with stones.
We don't kill birds.
Okay, no killing birds. No. Metaphorical. I'm a songwriter here.
No.
Anyway, this is a song called The Ship. And it's the opening track on my brand new record that came out in February. This is how it goes.
In the breeze we fly our kites, and in the waves we dive. In our dreams we set our sights to love each day we are alive. And we throw up our voices on the clouds so they can fly. Fill each raindrop with choices, quench our thirst with why not try. You and me go hand in hand, and we also go alone. 'Cause we believe and we understand that on the road we'll find our home. Out of the splinters of my broken heart, I built this ship to sail into a bright new start with lessons learned, some bridges burned, and a tailwind in mind. Out of the splinters of my broken heart, I built this ship to sail into a bright new start with lessons learned, some bridges burned, and a tailwind in my heart.
Lovely. Oh, lovely. Lovely. So in the songwriting world, in your world, where do they come from? What's the a lot of folks here are playing standards and traditional music, would you say, mostly? Or do you guys play some original stuff?
I play some original.
You do play some original. So but what about your where you get your songs from?
Yeah, well, I guess because my influences are very much from the jazz standards. So, you know, I learned a lot about song form and storytelling and metaphor and poetry and all that kind of stuff from listening to, you know, and singing Gershwin and all those incredible songs from the not so long ago days when music was good. And I mean,
the great songbook.
And but I also, you know, people say write what you know. You know, my songs are pretty autobiographical. Over the years, as I've honed my craft, I've made my songs less obviously, oh, that's about when you stubbed your toe on that, you know, can and whatever. But there are songs like that too. But in the sense of, for instance, you know, that song is a breakup song. You know, that song is I had it, my heart schmussed, and I was actually biking down the West Coast. I was just north of Mendocino by myself on my bicycle, exhausted, thinking to myself about people who build ships out of matchsticks and ships in bottles, and thinking of that whole, you know, that whole scene of really OCD people who are also very creative and will spend the time building entire sculptures out of matchsticks. And then I thought, what if that matchstick thing breaks? And then I thought, well, my heart kind of feels like a pile of matchsticks right now, but I'm also day by day getting better. And so then the sentence came to me, out of the splinters of my broken heart, I built a ship. And you know, so this is often what happens, like continue the metaphor, but a fragment of a lyric, and a line will come to me. And then I remember the moment this came to me, you know, pedaling along, and I was like, that's it. And also, it's very cathartic. Like, that was the moment, I think, finally I'm recovering, because I'm understanding, I'm putting language to my feelings, and, you know, and then the song evolves and carries on like that.
Why do you use the particular instrument you do?
Kind of by accident. You know, a lot of my instrument choices have been out of necessity, because... it's a long story, but in a sort of large nutshell, years ago I lived in Paris. I used to busk with a jazz band. I was doing an art degree. So I used to make my rent by singing on the streets. Mm-hmm. I moved to New York in 2011, and I was like, I need an instrument that I can busk with, because, hey, that's how I'm going to pay my rent in New York. Not. Anyway, so I got myself a ukulele, and then my ukulele life sort of continued to grow and evolve until it got to the point where I ended up actually getting endorsement from Carla Ukulele, and it was during this bike trip down the West Coast, because it was a concert trip, another long story, but I biked through Petaluma, I went to their headquarters, did an in-office concert, and they were like, pick some instruments.
Oh my God.
I was like, what is that? They said, it's a baritone ukulele, and I tried, and I was like, this is amazing. Like, you can have it, as long as you sign this contract and you sell us. But to be honest, you know, but it's amazing, because Carla, like, it's amazing to have their support and have these instruments. And it's really, like, I have all these sopranos and, you know, I have so many ukuleles, but this baritone here, and I'll retune it and do different tunings, but it's really been an amazing tool for me as a songwriter.
So when was this that you picked up the ukulele? What
2011, year? I would say 2011.
Okay. Because the ukulele suddenly
exploded,
burst on the scene. I mean, it's always been here, of course, and in Hawaii and all that, but it just burst on the scene, and now we've got workshops everywhere, and the
showing
folks
up in TV and radio commercials too.
Oh yeah.
I'd like to make a
hold on. Say this again.
I'd like to make a comment about the ukulele. Every single founding member of the Kingston Trio started playing on a ukulele.
Oh.
Dave Gard and Bob Shane in Hawaii. My father in his living room in Coronado.
The hands are going up.
Tyler Jackson said.
And Paul Gabrielson.
Okay. And it really is the way that I feel about it, is the entryway for people to get into music, because it's a four-string instrument. If you've got a ukulele tuned a certain way, you can adapt those fingerings later to a tenor guitar, and then if you want to move up to a six-string or an eight-string or another instrument. Mm-hmm. That's my passion with this Tenor Guitar Foundation, is to have these wonderful world-class musicians. That's one thing that I want to point out, is that this is not a hodgepodge of people that are just scattered and brought here. You've got some of the best musicians in the world that you will see at these shows, and I'm very proud that they're here, and I'm very proud that they're talking about instruments that will help others get into music.
Absolutely.
Because I think at this time in the world that we really want to try to spread music, and it's what will give us all joy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what all these people do here, is they give people joy in one way or the other.
Thank you, Josh Reynolds. Thank you so much, because we need the healing, and music heals. And whether you're just sitting and listening, and maybe you just want to try one, and that's what the workshops are for too. You can come on down. These folks, as you can hear right now, they are so accessible and so welcoming, that this is a perfect opportunity, any age, to come on over. How old were you when you started playing, Grant? What did you say?
Let's see. So I started playing violin when I was 11.
You still play violin,
I do,
too.
Yep. And I probably started playing tenor about 4 years after that, so I've been about 15.
Okay. Which was what, 2 years
ago? That was 4 years ago.
Years ago. I rest my case. How about you? What's your...
I was actually 11 years old, and I started out on the ukulele. And before that, you know, I'd had piano lessons and even a little bit of guitar, but nothing ever clicked. Denny and I were talking about this on the drive out here. Nothing ever clicked until I picked up a ukulele and realized, wow, you can make a lot of music with two or three chords.
There you go.
And just have fun, you know.
There you go.
And once I got that, you know, it led to other things. So.
You know, I can't remember, was the first year or at some point, I guess it was after I got my little cigar box ukulele, tenor guitar, Mark said, this was not planned, certainly not by me, perhaps by him. He said, okay, Carol, well, let's have a lesson. And that's what we did. He gave me a lesson on the air. This was on my folk show, so there was a little more time, but it was pretty outrageous. I was so proud of myself.
Yeah.
That was a few years back, though. Now I need to start all over again. So, John, when did you start playing guitar? Because you're kind of a renegade.
I was like 10.
Renegade musician, aren't you?
I think I was like 10 years old.
10. Did you ever start?
I started not tenor guitar. I was playing banjo.
Okay.
Tenor banjo.
Okay.
And it was like bigger than me. It was like huge.
Right.
You know, but, and I just liked
I had a guitar, regular guitar, but I didn't like the, I don't know, it's like I got tired of it for some reason. I just didn't like the harmony. Like when I picked tenor up, it's like, yeah, I can hear this. I can hear where the harmony is, and nice. I can hear where the inside notes are.
Nice.
Because it's tuned a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I just heard it better.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I played ever since. Then I switched to guitar because I wanted to play nicer tunes instead of like, yeah, that's my baby.
Right, right.
That's my baby. I wanted to play other stuff like.
Yeah.
You can't do that on banjo. It just doesn't come out because all you get is blink, 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 blink. You know, so.
There's a place for every instrument.
You know what I mean? So I switched to tenor guitar, and then I've been playing it ever since.
Yeah. And the idea of switching instruments also, you're completely ukulele now, Joanna. Is that right?
As opposed to anything else at all in the world? No.
You don't play cello?
No, I have tried. I went through piano, harp, flute,
okay,
violin,
okay,
cello.
Okay.
I really was bad at practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I was told then I have an exam coming up, I would quit. So this is what I've done throughout my life until I finally reached my mid-20s when I thought... Because I did fine art before. I was a painter for years. And it wasn't until I was 24, 25 that I was like...
Make up your
music.
Mind.
Music. Well, yeah, it's not so much make up my mind, but I'm ready to commit. I'm ready for this all
good
or nothing.
Right.
Because it's all or nothing and it hurts. You know, it's mm-hmm not an easy ride. And mm-hmm, but, you know, what, like Tyler said before, if it comes down to you wake up every day and you do this and you go to sleep every day and this is what you're doing, then
yeah, you're there.
You're there. You have no choice. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Paul, we haven't talked much to you, though. Have you always been a bass player? Is that...
I've pretty much just been a bass player. I mean, I play a little guitar, and
mm-hmm
I actually work on a little guitar just so I can keep up with my guitar playing friends.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And a little piano. I usually use that for teaching with my students, and so I can accompany them and stuff like that.
But, so what do you teach?
Well, I teach bass lessons. Upright bass, mostly upright bass. I can teach bass guitar lessons, but
mm-hmm
bass guitar is super easy compared to upright bass. Yeah. So,
when you say bass guitar, you mean
like a guitar bass, you know, like a
electric bass,
like electric bass.
Oh,
you can call it electric bass.
Yeah.
That's what Carol Kay called it.
That's yeah what I wanted to know because that's what I was saying. I much prefer this.
At least that's what she says.
Yeah.
I gotta laugh.
We'll never know. We'll never know. I would love to hear at least one more. Group tune here, if that's possible. Do we have something else we can put together here? Let's move these. I'm going to relinquish my mic so that we have one more mic
okay
on your
okay
side.
Okay.
So, yeah. So hold on, folks. You're listening to a preview. Actually, this is the 9th annual Tenor Guitar Gathering in the Tenor Guitar Gathering Capital of the World, which is Astoria, Oregon. And we're amazing, actually. It's amazingly special. And so the concerts are again tonight and tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Astor Street Opry Company, which is right on West Bond. And the film, The Wrecking Crew. We have the director here, Denny Tedesco, and he will be talking about the film, and then he and Josh Reynolds will be talking about growing up in these musical families, and maybe Joanna too. And then there's workshops all day tomorrow. So go to the website if you have that ability, tenorguitargathering.info, and come on over to the Pier 39 and just check it out. And I've been wearing my tenor guitar sweatshirt for years. It's my favorite. And so you can get swag. Is it called swag or
swag
merch or whatever
like it
it's is called? You can get all that stuff too. Okay, I'm going to pass my mic over.
When you're in the Hall of Fame, Carol, you get all the pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Good night. Cool. Okay.
out of nowhere. One, two, one, two, three, four. To me from out of nowhere, you took my heart and found it free. Wonderful dreams, wonderful schemes from nowhere, made every hour sweet as a flower to me. If you should go back to your nowhere, leaving me with just a memory, well, I'll always wait for your return from nowhere, hoping you'll bring your love to me.
God, this is fabulous. Folks, you've been listening to the tenor guitar folks who are here with us today. That was the voice, well, the human voice of Joanna Wallfish, and then the instrumental voice of Tyler Jackson, Grant Flick, John Lawler, and Paul Gabrielson, who will all be playing tonight at the Astor Street Opry Company at 7 o'clock at the concert, and then tomorrow evening as well, and tomorrow all day are the workshops, And 4 o'clock is, I didn't let him talk again, sorry, Denny, but Denny Tedesco is here, the director of the documentary film The Wrecking Crew, which is 4 p.m. on Saturday. Again, if you need more information, tenorguitargathering.info, and The Wrecking Crew has its own website.
Wreckingcrewfilm.com.
So check that out. If you've never seen it, this is a great opportunity. And if you have seen it, you know that already, because the director's here, and he and Josh Reynolds will be talking about what it's like to grow up in these incredible musical families. Oh, my gosh. Thank you all for being here. We're out of time. We could just sit here and play all day, I know that. But instead, come on down and hear them live and then come and talk to them. I do want to let you know this is, as you do know already, this is Astoria Pride Weekend. Tonight is the, there's cocktails with the Queens at 6 to 7:30 in the McTavish Room. The gala is at 8. Those are at the Liberty. Tomorrow there's the parade at noon. Starting at 4th Street in Astoria, then there's the block party all day. It's not going to rain. That's around 20th and the water. And then at 9 o'clock at night, or going till whenever, the Astoria Arts and Movement Center, there's a dance party. There's lots of other events for Pride. There's also a whole bunch of Goonie events going on, folks. If you happen to be a Goonie fan, yeah, we got some younger people shaking their heads. Also, Rain Magazine, today, in 1 hour, from 5 to 8 p.m. at Towler Hall. You know, if you want to just kind of noodle around while I'm talking, that would be just fine. Yeah, give me a little background there. Towler Hall Commons on the 3rd floor. And then Encore Dance Studio is all weekend at the Seaside Convention Center. There's music going on all over the place. The Labor Temple has music, oh, Lord, there's so much happening. Tomorrow, I want to let you know, Peninsula Performing Arts Center has Cal Scott, whom I adore. And then Grace.